Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and this is another in the series of pre-system interviews. We're getting warmed up for System 2009. This is a unique event. We're calling it our All-Star event. We're also calling it the State of the Art event. It marks my 15th year as an educator in the field of internet marketing. And what I've decided to do is, every year we go out and try to find the best people we can, but this year I really decided to focus and pick a handful of superb faculty, people I consider all-stars in our industry, and we're doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work to integrate our various presentations together. Right now I'm working on who goes first, who goes second, that kind of thing, so that attendees at this this particular system are going to have an experience. They're going to walk in the door with a certain level of knowledge, a certain level of experience, and they're going to walk out with radically, dramatically, exponentially increased insight. And one of our heavy hitters that we're bringing in this year is Timothy Seward. Welcome, Timothy.
Hey, thank you very much, Ken. Glad to be here. And thank you for the invitation.
Oh, I'm really glad you can join us, because I know you're going around the country doing a lot of training. You're actually certified by Google to train on their behalf or under their label, I guess. Can you tell a little bit about that program? How many people have been certified by Google? What's involved in getting certified? What you teach?
Sure, absolutely. So we've been involved with Google since August of 2005, when we got basically invited by Google to be in the founding seven partners on what was at that time called Urchin 6. Software, Urchin 6 on demand, Urchin 5 software, and so forth, and then later became repackaged and rebranded and given away free as Google Analytics. About a year ago, I proposed to Google that we start getting out there and teaching people, specifically Google AdWords advertisers, how to use the tools, how to use Google Analytics. We even did a pilot with Google Website Optimizer, teaching a class on a Google Website Optimizer. So there's actually only three companies in the world that are branded by Google as approved training providers. So we've got this logo on our website that has the Google name and colors, and it says Analytics Seminar Leader. So basically what we do is we go to different venues. Our next event is going to be in Miami in June, and it's a two-day event where essentially we help people to really learn how to use and leverage Google Analytics as a tool for marketing, for improving conversion, for kind of deciding what traffic that they're paying for is, making them profit. And then, so that's a real marketing-oriented user training day. And then the second day, we teach for the webmasters. And, some people, Ken, and this, are they're great marketers and great webmasters, but they're kind of in the minority. To have both the technical skills and the marketing skills is a little rare. So many times a company will send their webmaster, and essentially with that session, top to bottom, it's called advanced technical implementation, and that's essentially soup to nuts how to completely and professionally configure Google Analytics so that it can track everything on the website, track accomplishment of goals, track e-commerce revenue, and all toward the point of figuring out what marketing is working, what marketing isn't working, so you can spend more money on the stuff that's working and less on the stuff that isn't working.
Excellent. Because one of the great beauties of internet marketing and why it actually is worth getting excited about is that of all the businesses out there that exist, it's the most easily trackable and traceable. It's the most, for the owner, it's potentially the most transparent business you could ever run. Now you were in different businesses before this. Can you talk a little bit about that and how those experiences led you to first come to the internet and then figure out that tracking was the holy grail?
Sure, and to preface that a little bit, Ken, I had dinner the other night with a friend of mine, and it was, you know, my wife and his wife and he and I, and I just met her for the first time. She works for a Fortune 100 company and in the marketing department. What was really interesting, this was just two nights ago, she said to me after her husband introduced me and explained what I did, she said, you know, in our company, she said, we are using the recession as I am using what's happening in the environment right now as a lever to get our big, huge Fortune 100 company to shift more and more and more of our marketing dollars away from feel-good advertising, non-trackable, non-traceable advertising, to doing more and more and more trackable, traceable, accountable advertising. And so she's actually telling me how they're moving more and more of their dollars to online and even to Google. So I mean, you know, in today's tough times, it's not necessarily that you know the there's no more customers. It's just that there's the more of a need for accountability in marketing, and that's of course is what the internet practically from the ground up is made to do. So to answer your question about background, I had a wholesale distribution company that I built up in the mid 80s from one employee. And you know a small amount of inventory to over a period of about 12 years to 55 employees, $6 million in sales, delivery trucks, people on headsets and computer, you know, and computers entering orders from our 800 line. So that was sort of you know the way that I used direct marketing back in the. You know, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we'd buy lists from InfoUSA and then essentially send out catalogs. And essentially, our version of the internet in the mid 80s and early 90s was essentially an 800 line in direct marketing. And
you know, that's such an important point. And they might make it might be helpful to everybody to spend a little time on direct marketing. Before the internet, there were other ways to reach people in a targeted way, in an economical way, in a trackable way. And Timothy just basically gave the method, which is you went out and you bought a mailing list, you sent out a mailing to a targeted list, you offered something, some reason for somebody to call you at your 800 number. And then you'd have one or a room full of people taking those calls and doing transactions. And I think that's the reason why so many people who are in that environment are doing so well in the internet environment. Because if you think about the internet, we no longer have to have an 800 number. It still helps, of course, to have telephone service. But we can just by having a web address and having a well-designed website and well-designed order process and knowledge of pay-per-click and knowledge of SEO and knowledge of joint ventures, we can generate all kinds of leads and accomplish all kinds of transactions without adding staff, without adding phone lines, without adding office space, without writing printing bills. I mean, it really truly is an amazing thing. And if I could say one more thing about direct marketing, And I'm talking now to everybody, but maybe specifically to people that are somewhat new to advertising. There's basically two kinds of advertising. Timothy referred to the feel-good advertising, also known as image advertising. And this is what we all see every day when we turn on the TV or we read the newspaper. And the greatest danger to the fledgling entrepreneur or the experienced entrepreneur is to look at what these big companies are doing and think they know what they're doing when it comes to advertising. They often started very entrepreneurially. They often started with direct marketing, and as they got bigger and bigger, they drifted away from the direct marketing methodologies and went to the more image-oriented advertising, which frankly is easier. is a lot less rigorous. And if you're already a big company and the economy is doing pretty well and you've been established for years and years, well, maybe you don't necessarily feel the need to be so sharp in your advertising. But when you're starting out, when you're new, when you don't have much money, the only kind of advertising that you can afford to do is direct marketing. And we talk a lot about the books that I recommend that people read. I'm going to throw them out really quick. Tested Advertising by John Caples, fourth edition or earlier. Scientific Advertising and My Life in Advertising by Claude Hopkins. Yeah. I also like the books by Vic Schwab. I forget what he calls it, but it's a very good book on writing ad copy. But there's a lot of good old classic books on how to do direct marketing right. And I really encourage everybody, all this internet stuff is fantastic, but when you add direct marketing know-how to it, it becomes pure dynamite, and it's very, very powerful. So sorry for that aside. I just want to make sure everybody knows what direct marketing is.
No, absolutely. I think that's that's absolutely critical, and our catalogs became our little salesmen going out and soliciting new customers and new business, and so it's just very, very efficient. Of course, then came the internet, and even more efficient because rather than us looking for clients, clients are looking for us. They're looking for you. And all you have to do is really identify yourself as a leader in your niche, and offer something that people can get involved in, and they want to do business. They want to do business with you, so it's pretty exciting. So 1997. Fall of 97, I actually got a buyout offer on that business that was quite generous, and I thought, now's the time to kind of pursue a passion that I developed in our company after setting up a Novell network and having everything interconnected. You know, as I mentioned earlier, people taking orders over the phone. Went back to school, took the buyout, went back to school full-time for 4 years and got a degree in computer science. It was just something, a passion of mine, something I really wanted to do, and I really had a great time doing it. After I graduated, I had a situation where Google just started their pay-per-click program. This was in February of 2002. I graduated in December of 2001. And I was tasked with selling our home. We decided we wanted to move to Raleigh, North Carolina at the time. So took out some Google pay-per-click ads. I looked at my account, Ken, the other day, and it was April 22nd of 2002 when I launched my first pay-per-click ads. Did some pop under ads. They actually did an eBay ad. Ended up getting like 150 people to our home in one weekend for our open house, sold it that weekend. And our winning buyer, I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you, Ken, our winning buyer actually saw my pop under ad on the internet from Long Island, New York. He and his wife bought a plane ticket, flew down that next weekend for the open house, and they ended up being our winning buyers on the home. So if you were to describe an evangelistic religious conversion experience on the internet, I think I had it at that point.
Wow. I'm tempted to, on another call, ask you to document exactly how you pulled off that sale, because I bet there's a lot of people interested in how you did that. But we can talk about it in general terms. So clearly you were very early to the Google AdWords game. April 2002, you must have been one of the first 1,000, I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating, but one of the first 1,000 customers or one of the very early ones.
Sure, sure. It was just fantastic to be able to bid on keywords that people were typing in. Essentially, you know, to choose like a corollary is like the Yellow Pages, to choose your categories, and you're only paying when people actually raise their hand and say, I'm interested in that category. It's fabulous. I was talking with another direct marketer the other day who used to have retail stores, and he said, you know, he said the correlation with that is almost as if, you know, instead of paying the newspaper to run an ad in the paper to get people in my store, I only paid the newspaper when someone actually walked into the store.
Right, right.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was talking with somebody that the other day, whose former business model was based on the Yellow Page ad, and his annual Yellow Page bill was $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Well, he used, you know, it was really important to his business, and they're not cheap. You know,
sure.
Anybody's ever gotten a call from a Yellow Page ad sales rep, full page ads, they are not giving them away. And he's switched, he's cut that down 80% and gone pay-per-click, and his business is up 30%.
Wow.
So I'm assuming everybody on this call knows what pay-per-click is. Timothy gave a very good description of it, but it's basically a newer form of advertising in which you only pay for the visitors that actually show up at your site. And Google's become clearly the leader in that field starting in 2002 with basically a superior model. And then the other thing Google's doing, which I think is really admirable and really merits us talking about, is more than any other big Internet company, they are really investing in the Internet itself. And by that I mean, you know, for example, the Google Analytics tool, making that available to people for free and supporting people like you who are training others in how to use it really skillfully. What was that? You know, that program was acquired from another company. I seem to remember that thing before Google acquired it and gave it away to everybody was like $5,000 or some really huge price.
Yeah, it was $495 a month when it came out in December of 2004. It's called Urchin 6 on Demand. I really wanted to buy it when it came out, and I thought, you know, how can I justify that? That's $6,000 a year. And so I hesitated a little bit. Ended up showing up at a conference in New York City in March called Search Engine Strategies, and it was at that point that that Google announced that they had just acquired the company, Urchin Software, San Diego-based company, moved the entire team of 30 people from San Diego up to Mountain View in San Jose, San Francisco, California, where Google's headquartered. And at that point of the acquisition, they dropped the price from $495 a month to $199 a month. And at that point, there was just no excuse anymore. And I ended up actually selling quite a bit of it to friends of mine and clients that we had developed websites for, because one of the first things I did after I graduated, in addition to running paid search ads, is build out websites for clients. We don't do that anymore. But, hey, if you got a website, you want traffic. There's no point in building a website without wanting to get traffic, you know, not only traffic, but traffic that will convert. So, at that point, that was March of 2005. And then they brought us in August of 2005 and developed a group of seven companies. There were three from the United States and then one from China and I think one from the U.K., and then one from Germany that we had in that initial training at the Google campus in August of 2005. And then later in November of 2005, they brought us into a meeting at their Times Square office in New York City. And then it was very secretive, but they said, you know, in 5 days we're going to come out with Google Analytics as rebranded from Urchin 6. Take the same program that less than a year previous had been selling for $6,000 a year, take away none of the functionality whatsoever, and in fact, over time, improve it, which they have certainly done in spades, and just give it away for free. And so that's basically the story of Google Analytics.
And you've been in on that since the beginning, and you've been a Google AdWords user since the beginning. And I also want to point out that you helped us hook up with Google, too. You helped the system hook up with Google. And last year, thanks to your introduction, Tim Leung, who was at that time he was product manager for Website Optimizer, which is another tool we should talk about a little bit, came and basically gave a great course, a mini course on testing and how to use A-B split testing and what they call multivariate testing to get the absolute best response and the best profits and the most money from your web traffic. This year we're going to have Trevor Claiborne and from Google. So Google obviously apparently liked us, and when I asked if they were interested in coming back, I got an instant yes. They loved our audience. In fact, what Tom passed on to Trevor was what a sharp, engaged, focused audience it was. And I said, you know, everybody in that room is serious. We don't really have any sightseers. Nobody's there on a corporate expense account either. These are all real business owners doing real stuff, and we've got some guys in the audience that are spending $10,000, $100,000 a month on AdWords. So you better believe they're paying close attention. The interesting thing about Trevor, and I'm very excited about this, is he's the new product manager for Website Optimizer. But in addition to that, he was also very involved in selling and explaining the AdWords service to small businesses all over the country.
Interesting. I didn't know that about Trevor, and he's a great guy, by the way.
Oh yeah, he really knows our marketplace. I think what he was doing before Google picked him up he had his own business, which I think involved in advising businesses on marketing. Google saw what he was doing, said, "Why don't you join us and help explain our AdWords program to our to potential clients?" So he did that, and then when the vacancy opened up to be product manager for Website Optimizer, now he's running that program. So he really understands us being people who are spending our own money. We're putting it all on the line for our businesses. It's not like we can just switch jobs if we want a different job. We're sort of committed to what we're doing, he understands that mindset very well. Also along with the utility and Trevor from Google, we have Perry Marshall, who I think most everybody on this call knows is one of the preeminent, if not the preeminent, educator on Google AdWords. He started early in it, as you did, and made a focus of figuring it out. He's the author of a book. In fact, one of his students is also an author of another book on Google AdWords, so he's really become central in that. And then we're also going to have Carl Banks and Ben Jessen from the UK, I believe it's conversion rate experts.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and they're also certified by Google to teach. So if you believe that Google's an important part of internet marketing, I think System 2009 has this department covered about as well as it humanly can, other than taking everybody on a bus to Google headquarters. I don't think you can get anything. In fact, because we're partly in Google. Our faculty is partly from Google, partly Google certified, but also people that are independent of Google. I think we have a great mix of opinion and insight into how to get the most from that. How much of all the search engine traffic out there, and this is, when we're talking about pay-per-click, we are talking about search engine traffic. These clicks, not all. I mean, a large percentage of the clicks come from people that are doing searches for particular terms. Another portion of the clicks come from people that are accessing specific content, and the AdWords ads are served up embedded in the content. But let's look at the search engine traffic for a second. Do you happen to know offhand these days what percentage of this total search engine traffic Google is responsible for at this point?
Sure. There are a number of different studies that that happen. ComScore. ComScore is one of the big companies that does share of clicks, and it seems to me that their share on Google is and this is a 2008 figure, is somewhere in the mid 60s, not including the clicks that they serve up through AOL and Ask.com. Okay. Yahoo is in around the, this is in the U.S. anyway. I don't have the stats for the world right off my fingertips, but in Yahoo, it's very, it's right around 20%. MSN, right around 7%. So, so you know, when you count what Google serves up to AOL and to Ask, you're in the low 70s. As far as percent of total search clicks.
So when we advise fledgling internet marketers or even people that have been using the internet for marketing in one way or another to pay close attention to Google, we're pretty much giving them good advice because this is the dominant force in the market. The other thing is because of the nature of Google's criteria for who it will give good listings to or good rankings to for any given search term. Longtime users of the Internet probably remember the bad old days pre-Google when you would search for a term and all kinds of random stuff would come up. I mean, really, sometimes you'd have to go to the third or fourth or fifth page of the search engine results to come up with something that even approximated what you were really looking for. Part of that had to do with what's called search engine spamming, people learning what they thought were the rules of search engine ranking and then manipulating their sites to appear to be relevant. That was a problem for Google as well for a while, but they've become very adept and are getting better and better all the time at identifying basically tricks and fabrications, and also identifying real content, relevant content. And if you think about it, that's Google's lifeblood. If they're serving up mediocre or inadequate search results, well, they're going to be out of business. Or they won't be doing the business they're doing now. So their future and their growth and everything they've got depends on great search results, and they've determined that it's great content that merits great search results. And they're very quick to figure out the trick. So I always like to say this on every call where we mention traffic because of the nature of our business. You're going to hear a lot of advice on how to try to trick the search engines into giving you high ranking. And while there are certain procedures that state of the art that you would follow to make sure your pages are coded correctly so they're search engine friendly, your primary aim should be to make sure you're creating a great user experience for the person that arrives. And you agree, Google agrees, and if you take nothing away from this call, probably the most important thing you can take away is that you must absolutely be focused on customer satisfaction and quality, not going the route of trying to be a trickster and trying to deceive the search engines or deceive your customers. And I bring it up because I think anybody that spent any time pursuing internet marketing, especially as a beginner, will encounter a lot of material that's slanted that way. And I just want to say, I think if you inquire from Google, from people like Timothy, from people like Carl Banks and Ben Jessen over at Conversion Rate Experts, from Perry Marshall, people that are real authorities, you'll find that they're in agreement that this is a quality game, not a game of one-upmanship. Or gaming. I mean, I heard a great saying actually from a financial guy the other day, commenting on the sort of meltdown of our credit system. He says, you know, you can game the system, but you can't beat the system. You know, in other words, you might be able to figure out a trick that works for a few days or a few years even, but ultimately the equilibrium and the balance of the system is going to assert itself, and the tricks melt away and what's really substantial remains. Timothy, let's talk about some things that our listeners can use right away.
Absolutely.
To get some results. Now, you work, by the nature of your business, you work with lots and lots of different kinds of businesses. Can you mention some of the types of businesses that you've helped? I mean, it's a long list.
Sure, absolutely. We work with approximately 65 companies. It changes, so I don't have an exact figure, but probably in 40 different industries. It's pretty amazing what the number of companies. We're not niched in any particular company. So we work with business-to-business software as a service providers. We do business in consumer products, consumer products direct to the consumer, featuring niches such as personal niches such as weight loss and other products that people might purchase for themselves. We work with companies that publish newsletters and are seeking to get more of their newsletters sold. We work with folks that are real estate gurus, folks that teach you how to train say a pet or something like that. We work with attorneys that are marketing their own practice. We've got a physician who's number one in the world in his specialty, Harvard-educated, super smart guy. And over the years, he's just narrowed his field of specialty such that he performs one very narrow niche elective surgery, and literally, because of the Internet, he's able to get clients that fly to him from other countries in the world, certainly other states. It's just kind of amazing. He's in a small town in North Carolina, population probably no more than 100,000. If he was just relying on his local population, referrals from other doctors wouldn't probably get more than, who knows, three or four patients a month for the surgery, but he's able to do several of these surgeries a day with the advent of the Internet. Real estate brokers, folks that have e-commerce sites that sell everything from soaps to surfboards, literally, credit niches. It's pretty fascinating. It's one of the things that we enjoy most about our work is that we're able to work with so many different people in so many different niches and industries, and after a while, we kind of feel like the bumblebee, kind of moving from flower to flower and cross pollinating everything. You have an idea that works in this particular industry. Doesn't mean that it only works in that industry. It can be applied. Really, some of these ideas can be applied across many industries, and it's really very exciting working with these clients. One thing I wanted to mention to you, and I want to get into some takeaways that people can use immediately, that really ties into this, is that one of the little known things about our own company is that we do, and this is quite fascinating. I've thought about this a lot. It turns out that that over 40% of our company's business is done with internet marketers, where the founder or CEO is actually still today under the age of 25.
What?
That is an absolute fact, it wouldn't be necessarily intuitive. And so I've thought a lot about why that happens. I hire a lot of people. We've got 26 people now on the payroll working in our offices here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I tend to find that we're hiring a lot of college graduates and a lot of young men and women who have just been out of college for just a few years. And even when I was doing an interview in 2005 of one of the candidates that I was considering hiring, she said, you know, she said, and this was back in 2005, Ken, she said, once a year the Yellow Pages delivery people come to our dorms at the university where she attended and drop off a big stack of about 100 Yellow Pages books at the end of the hallway. She said, you know, what's very fascinating to me, and again, this was in 2005, she says, those books just stayed there. No one picked them up. Why? Because everybody, you know, and again, this is a few years ago, everybody had a laptop from mom and dad, and they were connected to the university internet system. And so, you know, this is the generation that grew up on the internet, and the correlation that I wanted to make is back to direct marketing, is that the fellas like Gunthy Ranker, who started when, you know, the infomercials 20 years ago as direct marketers in their 20s, and the story's pretty well known about how these guys got together as college buddies and built this huge direct marketing company that now does over $1 billion a year with products like Proactive that they sell through not only infomercials but, you know, through malls and inserts, package inserts, and so forth, that they really got that medium, you know, 20 years ago, the info commercial medium. Today, you're getting kids that literally been using the internet since they were 10, 11, 12 years old, and they came up with an idea for a product. We're running their paid search campaigns for them. They're building an incredible business, and some of these guys, some of these young people are profitably spending. I've got one client that we were able to help him get to the point where he's profitably spending over $800,000 in a single month on online advertising.
Holy smokes.
Very, very profitably. I have several clients, again, that are under the age of 25, that are all, not all of them, but several of them, a few of them are spending north of $150,000, another young man $450,000 a month on online advertising with essentially products that are direct to the consumer.
And this is where tracking and what you do with Website Optimizer and what you teach is essential. Because when you've got $100,000 or $400,000 or $800,000 a month AdWords bill, you better know which ads are working and which ads aren't, or you'll be out of business in a month.
That's exactly why I started with that, because that is the perfect lead-in. You cannot do this. We started with one of our clients. We just actually saw him last weekend, and basically spent the weekend with him at a conference in Florida. And literally, when he started with us, his first month spend was with us, because he had run his account for maybe 6 months and got it up to about $13,000 a month. So we took it over at about $13,000 a month. That was April of last year. And by August, we had got him to be able to spend $128,444. The next month, September, a little over $250,000. And get this, Ken, we couldn't take him out for a beer because he is not yet 21.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. For people whose heads are spinning at those numbers, realize that if they're spending that much, they're making something, you know, proportional. So some of you might go, "Oh my God, how can you be in business spending that kind of money?" And then, you know, some people might have trouble imagining spending that kind of money on advertising. But I'll summarize it this way: if you could give me a dollar and you knew I would give you $1.50 back, how soon would you want to stop or put a limit on your budget
for
that kind of a transaction?
That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's easy. Yeah, it's, I mean, as long as you can send out a dollar and have that dollar come back with friends attached to it, that's really what it's all about. And at the core of it, that is what direct marketing is. It's accountable, trackable, measurable marketing that comes back with friends attached. So, you know, to kind of get in the meat of things that people can use, I'm still astounded today, Ken, that because we'll do an audit, a review, and a personal one-on-one strategy session with someone in their Google AdWords account, and we still see this doesn't happen that much, but maybe one of every 15 accounts we're looking at, they have no conversion tracking whatsoever. So, you know, they're buying keywords. They're seeing, okay, I got 2,000 impressions with this keyword. I got 1,000 impressions with this other keyword phrase. Here's the number of clicks. Here's what I spent. And I'm a little bit astounded, but at the sort of the 101 of how to avoid either throwing away thousands of dollars on unaccountable advertising, or better yet, how to you know, transform yourself into a direct marketing machine where you're sending these dollars out and they're coming back with friends attached, is just set up Google Conversion Tracker. I mean, it's just so easy to do. It's included with the Google AdWords interface. This isn't even analytics. This isn't rocket science. It's a little bit of code you put on your thank you page, and then so you put that code on your thank you page, and all of a sudden now you can see, okay, well, this first keyword phrase brought me back 5 conversions. My cost per conversion was $10. My sales revenue was $9.50. Oops, I better stop that because I'm losing 50 cents every time we have a transaction. And then you've got this other keyword phrase that you can now say, okay, we got 10 conversions, we got a $5 cost per conversion, our sale was still $9.50, and we made $4.50. Okay, well, let's spend more money on that. That's what's working. So really the first big takeaway is make sure you get into your Google AdWords account and set up what's called conversion tracking. There'll be a little snippet of code that you'll end up with, and either you or give it to your webmaster, put it on your thank you page, the success page, the receipt page, whatever page you can only get to if someone either purchases something from you or they do something else that's valuable to you, such as sign up for a white paper or sign up to access your videos or do something that's really important that you can monetize. So that's really the first thing that I wanted to cover. Can I keep going?
Gotcha. Yeah, well, yeah, and the beauty of this is a lot of people will start a business and they'll put a lot of effort and even financial investment into building all the things about the business. It might be hiring staff. It might be renting a facility. It might be getting inventory. It might be making brochures, all these expenses. And then they wait and hope that the customers will show up. The dream for a business is to just simply go out and buy customers and to buy them to spend less to acquire them than they are worth to you. This might be a strange concept to people that never thought about this, but that's what direct marketing really is, and that's what Timothy's just described. People that use AdWords or other measurable, accountable advertising methods are literally buying new customers. And they have a sense of what a new customer's worth, and they buy wisely. You mentioned the example you gave. The sale is $10, let's say, and the customer costs, the sale is $9.50, and the customer costs $10 to acquire. If you want to be purely in the black on every transaction, that's the transaction you'd shy away from. But of course, the case can be made that, you know, that first sale might be the beginning of a long sequence of sales.
Sure.
You know, for example, let's say, it's a product where you know the person's going to buy at least $100 worth over their lifetime. So now you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to spend $10 I'll lose 50 cents maybe on the first sale that I'll make with this person, but I've got my numbers tell me, and this is why the analytics is so important. My numbers tell me that if I can get someone to buy once, and I do everything right, I'm going to get another $90 out of that person over time. Let's talk, if you don't mind, you're probably privy to some of these numbers. Leverage. What is leverage? Leverage is spending a little and getting a lot back. And there's a lot of dangerous kinds of leverage, especially in the world of finance. But there's a lot of brilliant kinds of leverage in the world of marketing, where you spend $5 or $10 to get a customer who's worth 50 or 100 or God knows what to you later. Do you happen to have it at your fingertips any numbers you can share, you know, not revealing the actual business involved, but where a company's spending X to acquire a customer and knows that once that customer's in their database, they will be getting Y revenue from them?
Sure. I actually have a really good example. So we have a customer that that has a product that they sell direct to consumers. And similar to Proactive, it's not an active medicine in any respect, but similar to the Proactive product, which of course is the Gunthy Ranker product that is an active medicine, when they sell it on essentially a forced continuity. So if you were to buy, the Proactive product from the Gunthy Ranker company, you'd get your first shipment, and then as long as you didn't cancel it, you'd get another shipment in 60 days, another shipment 60 days after that, that type of thing. Right. I don't know, was it the record companies that pioneered that in the 60s?
It was really Maxwell Sackheim and Book of the Month Club.
Ah, yes, that's right.
In the 30s.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the offers got, it was really interesting for those of a certain age. I think you have to be over 40 to remember this, but there were always these ads running, pick six books for 1 cent. And then the record companies, like, as you mentioned, did the same thing. And you kind of look at that and go, what the heck? How does that work? Well, what works is they knew their math, and they knew once they got somebody into their program that they could afford to give them five books or six books or whatever, just to get them into the system. Now, I'm not necessarily encouraging fledgling entrepreneurs to go negative on their first sale. And by go negative, I mean take a loss on the first sale, knowing that you're going to make it up on future sales. I'm not necessarily encouraging you to do that. That's
great.
A more advanced kind of thing to try out.
Sure.
But what Timothy and I are talking about is whatever the number is, know the darn number. And here's the key. And on the internet, even with the simple free tool that Google gives away with the AdWords account, that number is knowable. You can know your numbers. You can know if I spend a dollar today, I'm going to have $1.20 in the bank a week from now.
Yeah, you'll know that every single day, and it's fascinating. So to complete the example, so we've got a customer that makes a little bit of money on their front end transaction, and then he thought that because it's on a forced continuity, his lifetime value is around $75. He's using one shopping cart to do his continuity. We said, well, do you want help with that? Do you want to know, exactly what it is? Because I've got some really smart mathematicians that work for me here at the company, and one particularly who is just a genius with Excel. And he said, sure, yeah, no problem, that's fine. So he gave us the keys to his back end system. We're running his campaigns. There's a high level of trust there, and so we gave him the data back. And as it turns out, Ken, his lifetime value, as calculated, right down to the penny, came just a little bit over $113.
Okay, so $113 out, and what does he put in to get that $113 in sales?
Sure.
Acquisition costs.
Sure.
To get the customer.
So it depends on the search engine that we're running ads for him on, and we also run ads for him on large content networks that are not tied into search engines. But in his particular case, it's anywhere from from $20 to $40. And the $113 is actually net of his product cost and shipping. So it's a very, very good number. And the point being is that at any point, if the going either the going gets a little tough, you know, you can spend A. B, the exponential traffic that's available on the internet is not necessarily all available for a $20 CPA. So you might have to spend, $40, $50 as you scale the thing up. But as long as you know your lifetime value, you know basically exactly what you can spend and still make a great profit. So knowing that lifetime value is crucial.
This is a business where if you know a few things well, if you know how to analyze market opportunities, if you know how to drive traffic, if you know how to intelligently test different presentations and different offers, and if you know how to know your numbers, you kind of have a little machine for making money. And this is what we teach, have been teaching. This is our 15th year of teaching this. This is the same. It's gotten more sophisticated because there was no Google, and there was no pay-per-click, and there were no inexpensive analytics programs when we started giving seminars in 94. But we were already advocating the direct marketing model for the internet. And we were talking about the power of accumulating customers and selling to them over and over again, and how the internet had the potential. We talked about potential in 94 to cut customer acquisition costs down significantly, but also cut your customer communications costs. That's a whole other area we could go into for hours, but let me just throw this out really quickly. Every smart direct marketer knows the more you communicate with your customers, assuming quality communications, interesting stuff, stuff they want to know, stuff they value, the more you communicate, the more you're going to sell. Problem was in the old mail world, letter costs, I guess now it's 42 cents plus the handling and the printing. Not so easy to communicate with people on a super regular basis. But thanks to email, lowly, simple, plain vanilla email, it's not only easy to acquire customers, it's very easy to keep them engaged for a long time for, pretty close to nothing. We're actually coming up on our hour. What are you going to be talking about at System 2009?
Sure, absolutely. So essentially what I'm going to talk about is how to avoid the waste spend in your website advertising. And I'll do that with specific examples for both folks that sell things on their own website. You would be considered an e-commerce website if you sold products that you took money for on your website. And then also lead generation advertisers. We haven't talked that much about lead generation advertising, but we really have come up with I'm so excited, I can't wait to share it, a phenomenal tool that we've developed that essentially reads the values out of the analytics, the Google Analytics cookie, for folks that have long sales cycle, perhaps B2B, business-to-business websites, or other consumer websites where it's lead generation, like a real estate agent or a manufacturer selling $50,000, welding machines or injection molding things or whatever. They rely on leads to their website, and it might not be apparent how you can use a tool like Google Analytics to actually track that right down to the actual sale that may happen only on the phone. And engineers here have over the last couple of years developed a number of scripts and tools that we employ that I'll be describing. And once people see that, I think the light will really go off and they'll see how it is truly possible to track not only product sales on a website, but also the money spent to generate leads for their long sales cycle or B2B website. And then in addition to that, I'm going to cover the little secrets that we've learned over time to really increase your sales and leads on your actual website and your Google account. There's certain principles that we basically use in all the accounts that we manage to help our basically help advertisers get more action out of both their Google ads and out of their website landing pages and so forth. So we'll talk about the principles we use. We use these principles, Ken, and I'll go over it in detail. We use these principles whether we're running a campaign that the client's spending $2,000 a month or $5,000 a month. We use these same principles for guys that are spending, you know, in the several hundred thousand dollars a month.
This is great. So we're going to have the same topic because it, you know, really boils down. This is our system formula: traffic plus conversion equals profits, and it's a simple one. I'm not sure anybody articulated it before we did, but it is incredibly helpful for conceiving your business and improving your business, because either you're figuring out ways to get new traffic, or you're figuring out ways to make your traffic more valuable. We're going to have people who are experts on getting more traffic, targeted traffic to your site, and we're going to have people like Timothy who are experts on tracking what's going on. But as he also mentioned, based on all this tracking that he's done for all these clients that he talked about earlier in the call, he's learned a lot about what works, what to put on the page, what gets the biggest impact. We're going to be getting insight directly from Google on how they do this, because Google tests too. Google is always striving to improve its conversion too. They're in business just like we are. The difference is Google has all the traffic in the world to test, and they've got rooms and rooms of engineers to test things, and we're going to be privy, one of the few groups around that is actually going to be privy to specific test results from Google's own testing of its own pages, plus some tests they've done with clients. And then Perry Marshall, of course, who's a great educator on the whole subject of AdWords and conversion, is going to be sharing his experiences. And then the conversion experts from the UK, Carl Banks and Ben Jessen, this is just some of our faculty. But I want everybody to know that when it comes to Google, everything related to Google, this seminar covers the topic as well as can be humanly covered. We're also going to be having some talks on organic SEO, some talks on how to build an info marketing business, talks on copywriting, and we're going to have a section on mobile marketing, which is becoming huge. And there isn't a whole lot of practical information out there yet about that. And one of our graduates from many years ago, Kim Jashinsky, has written a book called Mobile Marketing that has received really high marks from people in that industry. It's the first practical common sense guide for us, again, being small business people that are spending our own money, to using mobile marketing, and that's going to be a very important presentation. So for everybody, mark your calendars. This is going to be in Chicago, March 27th through 29th. It's System 2009. It's my 15th anniversary of organizing internet marketing events. It's the 7th anniversary of the seminar called the System Seminar. This is our all-star team. Over 15 years, these guys that I think have the most important messages to share with internet marketers, both intermediate and advanced. And I'm also calling it the state-of-the-art seminar, too. 1994, we put on a seminar that pretty much was internet marketing, the state-of-the-art as it was then. In 2002, when we launched System Seminar, we were, I believe, the first, if not... Certainly, we were among the first, if not the first, to offer an integrated pay-per-click advertising strategy. Overture had been around for a little while, now known as Yahoo pay-per-click. As Timothy mentioned, Google AdWords was brand new in 2002. We mentioned it. We didn't cover it because our seminar was in April, and they launched in February, and we hadn't figured it out yet. But we were already offering a very clear methodology for building internet businesses based on pay-per-click tracking, testing, enhancing your conversion. That was a state-of-the-art seminar for 2002, and I really believe in 2009, with this particular team at this particular time, what we're going to be doing in Chicago will constitute the state-of-the-art in internet marketing today. So we did it in 1994, absolutely. We did it in 2002, and now 7 years after that 2002 seminar, we're going to do it again in 2009 with our all-star team. For those of you that are interested in registering now, which I do recommend you do, because we structure this that the earlier you register, the less you pay to attend, go to thesystemseminar.com, and you can read about the seminar there and register, thesystemseminar.com. That's March 27th through 29th. And Timothy Seward, give everybody, if you would, your URL so they can check out your business directly.
Oh, sure. Thank you. So it's www.roirevolution.com. That's ROI for return on investment, revolution.com.
I really like the name of your company because this really is a revolution, this way of doing business. It's taking all the best things that we've all learned over the years about business, and thanks to the magic of the internet, really, I mean, just accomplishing things that would have been unthinkable, impossible to pull off even you know 8, 9, 10 years ago. So it's, your business is very well named. Thanks for joining us. TheSystemSeminar.com will be in Chicago March 27th through 29th. Thanks, Timothy.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Ken.